Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Gary Sinise. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a round of Hollywood hand-me-downs. And now, he's never pulled a bait and switch, but he's definitely pulled a master bait and switch. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice, but to get on mandate, get on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing as we are weeks away from our 10-year anniversary of podcasting, and it's only because you guys listen and you guys share the show. So thank you very much for that. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. Eat a dick.
Oh.
I want to thank LifeLock and Lowe's and MedMen for sponsoring this half of the show, and Gary Sinise in studio. Good to see you again, my friend.
Thanks very much.
There's many things going on in the military world and the auction world and entertainment as well. We'll get into Gary with that. Gary, I'm in love with Gary Sinise. Everybody
he says
I speak
it behind
to
your back.
Just says he's the best guy on the planet. I know it firsthand because I showed up about 3-4 years ago to a race in Coronado Island on the military base. And there was Lieutenant Dan Ban all set up and playing for free.
Nice.
And I was so nice. I was so excited to see Gary and hear the band and the music. And I think gave me a little tour of his tour bus and showed him the race car. It's all very – it's very American.
Was that the one of the Paul Newman cars, I think?
I was driving a Bob Sharp car that I think was a Paul Newman, as in Newman Sharp racing team from back in the day. Or I was driving a Datsun 2000 Roadster that I blew the engine up on. But I'll figure it out.
Either way, great
we'll
day.
Figure it out. Yeah. Max Pat will tell me he was there. But the band sounded great. How many dates do you guys play a year?
We average about 30, I think, something like that.
And visually, it looks like a Cialis commercial when they're up there, but audibly, it's totally different.
They rock.
It's rocking. It's every time I see one of those commercials where a bunch of guys got together in a barn with one black guy, I'm like, who are these people?
A very diverse group of mature men.
How does this work?
But it's very entertaining, though.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, do you rehearse in a barn?
No. That with twinkly fairy lights in the background?
Is everyone good enough that... And you play enough that you don't need to rehearse, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, we rehearse formally about once a year when we learn some new songs. But the band's been playing now for 15-some years, so we can pull it together pretty good. If we haven't played in 4 weeks or something, we just get up there and do it.
And all things military, I'm guessing, and all the proceeds – going to the military?
No, well, the band is a program of my foundation, the Gary Sinise Foundation. So, you know, I only play for the military. That's all I do. I don't play for money or play for anything else. It's just part of the mission. So it's to raise spirits, raise awareness, raise funding, that kind of thing. And the generosity of the American people who support the Gary Sinise Foundation, we take that and we provide entertainment, much like the USO does.
There's going to be a Jeep that's going off tomorrow as you hear this, and that's at Barrett Jackson and Scottsdale. So it's the big auction weekends, if anyone is curious about the big auction weekends. There's the Pebble Beach auction weekend. That's where I would go do the Rolex Historic race at Laguna Seca. Then there's Scottsdale. That's where all the RMs and the Goodings and the Meekums maybe Meekum, Bear Jackson, all that. And then at some point, Amelia Island, Florida. So there's like three big ones. This is sort of the second in the triple crown or first of the year. And these things are getting massive. They're not only massive, they're massive TV shows. Like some of the best ratings, like the Discovery Channel, the History Channel have, will just be these auction shows. They go up there. They bring these vehicles out there. Most of them are for profit, but some are for charity. And the charity ones oftentimes knock it out of the park because you can write off
part of it.
Well, you can write it off past what the value of the vehicle would be. So if an 81 CJ7 nicely done is 30 grand, everything past that, you can tell Uncle Sam you're going to keep.
And that's good. And that's exactly what they're going to do with this Jeep.
You did that with Richard from Fast and Loud, right?
Yeah, we went to him. We proposed an idea about supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation with a refurbishing of a vehicle. He chose this 1981 Jeep, and all the proceeds are going to go to the Gary Sinise Foundation from the auction. We're going to do it at 5:30 Friday, and I'm going to be there. And it's my first time; never been there before, so it'll be a interesting thing. Now, unlike you, Adam, I'm not a big car guy, but I'm learning more about it as time goes on. They did a TV show, the Fast and Loud TV show.
Yeah, Richard Rawlings is this real recognizable car character. Mm. Sort of, I guess, think, oh, God, what's his name from Drive-Ins and Diners?
Oh, Guy Fieri?
Think Guy Fieri for cars. You
wow.
know, you'll see him on Dodge commercials.
A few less burgers.
Is he still taking Flavor Town?
A few more wrenches?
Yeah.
Going to Motor Town.
Kind of a personality meets, you know, wrencher, probably a little more personality, like sort of Guy Fieri, a little less chef, a mm-hmm. little more personality.
Appreciator.
But does these entertaining shows, gets these cars, you know, flips them, modifies them, and does them all, and then puts them up and sometimes sells them privately, but does the charity thing. And he's got his name on it. He's
fun.
It's been, you know, these guys at a certain point, a lot of these guys sort of become like artists, you know what I mean? Like it's a Picasso. It's got his name on it. It's going to be worth something now and one day because his name is on it.
Oh, yeah. And you can see on that. I mean, he put the Gary Sinise Foundation logos on it. It's on the speedometer. It's got Gary Sinise Foundation and all this. So it's really specifically, you know, raising. Yeah, there you go. That's one of our coins.
Challenge coin.
That's a challenge coin. Yeah.
Stuck to the side. I love
pretty
it.
Cool. Yeah.
One day. After the rollover accident, they're pulling the paramedics are pulling the couple out. They'll see the Gary Sinise upside down, and we'll see if they can read Gary Sinise when it's inverted on the steering wheel.
It's a true test.
No, we wish him years of happy motoring. People have to like add stuff.
Yeah, I didn't really mean that joke. When
they say horrible jokes, and they go, but seriously, folks, we wish him many years of happy motoring. God bless him. God bless him. Godspeed and God bless him.
Thank you for the charity.
So you'll be up. So it is a madhouse. I mean, it is. Kind of Woodstock for cars. There's huge.
Only nothing like Woodstock.
Only nothing like Woodstock. Only totally different voting block. It'll be a bunch of dudes. It's a huge, it's a tent, but I mean, the tent will take up 40 acres and it really will. Like, I don't know what they expect, Max Zapata over there, but,
oh, my God.
I mean, it's just massive. It's just
like
massive
a
thing. City of tents, and they just go in there. It just gets bigger every year.
Oh, rich man, poor man, tent city.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
It really is. Yeah, really.
Johannesburg and Barrett Jackson.
Rich man, poor man should be having a drink in a tent. Like having drinking booze
in a tent.
That's not a middle class thing. That's on the street sucking on some Sterno or drinking a highball with Richard Rawlings and Gary Sinise at Barrett Jackson Scottsdale. All right. 2016, when we saw Gary, I was driving the Datsun 610. Roadster broke in 2015. Wow. I chart my life through cars
there
that break. So the book as well. We'll talk about that. Tell me about the book, Grateful American.
I have the book coming out February 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote it. Took about a year to write it. It's Grateful American: A Journey from Self to Service. So it's really it's a memoir. It goes through a lot of the early theater days that I started the theater company in Chicago, Steppenwolf,
little known theater.
Then into a lot of the acting work, singular focus on movies and acting and theater and that kind of thing. And then post September 11th, really everything changed. And I started devoting all my time, not all my time, but a majority of my time when I wasn't working to supporting the men and women who were deploying to Iraq and Afghanistan, and been all over the world. Started the band, play multiple concerts over the years, probably 400-something concerts over the last 15 years for the military, started the foundation. And so it really is this sort of memoir that journeys into the service work that that I'm proud of and spending all my time on right now.
Let's talk about happiness and service, and I'll get a little cathartic here. But you tell me what your own experience is. You know, every time you talk to any deep thinker, they go, happiness isn't about material objects or money or how big your house is or whatever. It's always about providing a service and human connection and volunteering. And we all kind of know it. Like, we all kind of know the Christmas where you just kind of get everything you want. You just start tearing everything open and it's all there and you don't really appreciate it that much.
What are you talking about?
That's my kids. And then we all know that thing of when I was a Catholic big brother, it felt really good. Like I felt good about it, you know, and I was poor and I never got any gifts. I didn't ever even get I never really got thanked or anything from the kid. Later on, I became a celebrity and I never talked to him ever again.
That was your thank you.
What is the ultimate of a star fucker?
Yeah, star ghoster.
We gotta work it out. Star ghoster.
He kind of star ghosted
you.
I literally saw him every weekend until I got on basic cable and never saw him again.
Look who's getting big.
He turned 18 and I never saw him again. But it felt good. So the question is, so every year I go, now come on. You know, oh, that's me and young Nate at one of the Catholic Big Brother barbecues when I was 28 and a half or 30, whatever the hell I was.
Did somebody else spell out that name tag? Because your name is incredibly legible.
Oh, yeah. I would never. I can't. I would put a swastika where the A was. Like, not intentionally, obviously. No, I couldn't. My penmanship would be so bad. Well, first thing I'd do.
Streak.
If I was writing my name on a name tag, I would start in the middle and run out of room for the M.
Right.
So the M would be on the sticky part. Yeah. I'd have an arrow. Like, I'd start writing
Partner
arrows.
Shirt.
Like, go around.
Oh, hey there, Madam.
Madam.
No, the M is around the back.
The
M.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the M would.
Yeah, that's young Nate. Never heard from the boy. But either way, okay, it was good. Now I go, okay, this is what happiness is. Service. You have to provide service. You have to do service. And I've completely ignored everyone's advice and my own advice, and I just keep moving forward. Like, I need another car. I need a bigger house. I need blah, blah, blah.
And you're happier than ever.
I'm happier than ever. What happened?
Carrie,
tell me about your happiness level, just general levels of happiness the further you've gotten into service for others.
I've had a blessed life in a lot of ways. There have been ups and downs, certainly, and difficult times, and I try to keep those in perspective, the good times as well as the bad times. So you keep it all in perspective. I met a lot of great people over the years. Many of them have suffered and struggled and been through a lot of terrible things. I've learned a lot from them. I've felt blessed at the success I've had and tried to pass on some of the.
Did you have a phase or a time in your life when you were more self-centered and less about service and more about yourself, your career, your wealth?
Well, that's why the book is called that. It's a journey from self to service and how service work took over my life and how I really feel like it's given purpose, greater purpose. So, you try to be a good dad, you try to be a good husband, you try to be a good family person, take care of all those needs. And
I try to be
like
a good
that.
Dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying.
You tried. You're still trying.
Yeah. Well, the husband thing, I'm good 3 days a week. Is But is it safe to say that your happiness level has gone up? If we drew a graph of Gary Sinise's happiness level and his service level, that it would sort of follow the same trajectory?
I think the service work gives life purpose, you know, a greater purpose.
Let's use purpose. Happiness, I think we mix happiness with purpose all the time, whereas purpose is like, I feel like happiness is sort of a snow cone and cotton candy, and purpose is a big steak with some vegetables and some broth, like, and some au jus sauce. Like, it's hearty. You know what I mean?
I'm hungry.
Getting hungry.
Yeah.
And happiness is just sort of the fluffy candy corn of life that everyone, for some reason, is chasing after, but it's really sort of empty calories.
Yeah. So at least we can pursue it here in this country.
Yes. 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 And I'm guessing you're a pretty patriotic dude because
– I'm a grateful American. There's no question about it.
In terms of happiness, I tell people – or I'm sort of a broken record, which somehow makes me into a douche, I guess.
It's not just that.
You're bigoted.
Or, give yourself more credit.
It's not just something. I'm record, something like, which is like – look, finding things about this country that don't work – and trying to fix them or remedy them is a good pursuit. But literally walking in your house and fucking looking for anything, any crumb on the ground or anything, or finding something that does work and turning into something that doesn't work, or looking for the negative constantly is a direct path to unhappiness. And I think this country does that. I think we're like dogs who just chew on their own thigh. Like we are obsessed with how bad this country either is or was. Who? I don't know. I mean, I can't measure it. Maybe Germany will give us a run for the money. But who talks about their country's deeds from 200 years ago and beats the shit out of themselves more than this country? Like who? What we did to the Native American. Yeah, what we did. I don't know we. My family's from Italy and my wife's family's like literally from Italy. I don't know what the we is. How many we's? Like how many guys named Jebediah are actually still here who are the great, great descendants from these guys? I mean, Gary Sinise in Forrest Gump, yes, but there's not that many.
That's right, the lineage of his soldiers.
How many of – how – get it. There's things that could work better, and there are things that need to be fixed, but does it have to be this sort of – this constant
– self-flagellation.
Just like, yes. It's like me going, oh, no, I love my son. I love me. He's a great boy. He's a dear boy. He's a good – I'm his father. I'm a fan of him. But all I do is tell him how shitty he is all day, every day, and what he could have done better and what he did in the past. And remember the third grade? Not a good year. Not a good year for you. Many people were hurt. Many people at that elementary school. A lot of tears. A lot of tears. Oh, anyway, no. I love you to death. I love you to death. I'm proud. I love you.
Also,
you're
a lot of shame.
You're horrible. Yeah. A lot of shame. A lot of shame. Why do we – what is this pursuit? I don't get it. I'm not saying put blinders on and march around waving a flag. I'm just saying what countries do we compare ourselves to around the world? Who's doing much better than us? Who's done better in the world than us? Well, yeah, but what about all the – yes, there's always going to be that. Who are we comparing ourselves to is what I'm saying. Like a fucking snow globe, like with a beautiful little village in it. Like who – what other countries don't have skeletons in their closet, a past? But then who gets called on when there's a tsunami? Who are we supposed to reach? Who wants to fix everything? Innovation, medicine, like – would we be better with more countries around the world that had our mindset or less? What's the Middle East? What are we doing, Gary?
Answer all of those
answer
questions.
Answer everything.
There's a lot to unpack there. Look, my focus is, yeah, okay, every country on the planet and the history of the planet has its skeletons in the closet. It has its flaws. It has... it's history. You know, the history of the world is all about conquest and who had the bigger sword and who had the most guns and who had the bigger army. That's how borders were drawn, right?
Right.
As time goes on. So, you know, we all can dig into our past and not be terribly happy about it. On the other hand, here in this country, we have freedom providers. And we have a freedom that when you travel around the world and you go to different places that don't really understand what that is, you have a new appreciation for it, and you have an appreciation for the people that fight for it and defend it and protect it. And I am a grateful person for that. I could spend all my time like you screaming about the crumbs on the floor and the dirty room and all of that stuff. And I'm sorry, Adam, you need some help there. But I could do that. But on the other hand, I've been to too many hospitals. You know, I've seen too many wounded folks with burns all over their bodies and blindness and traumatic brain injury and amputations and all this terrible stuff, the terrible scars and wounds of war. And I've seen resilient families throughout the past several decades going through these terrible challenges in the hospitals. And I found a way that I could support them and help them. And does that give life meaning and purpose? Yes. I feel like my heart was broken after September 11th and what happened to our country after that terrible day, and what the images of that day will never leave my mind.
Ed Asner said that was an American plot, by the way. So if you see him on the set, knee him in the nuts for all the people that are dead.
I'll try and get him some.
Yeah. Ed Asner's a perfect fucking example of what I'm talking about, which is like, I get it. You hate this country that's provided so much for you. You'll never say, I hate this country. You'll just let it out in little bits and pieces like that. Well, that's a plot. CIA took down those towers. And, you know, he literally sat where you sat. And he's like, you know, we could have liberated those concentration camps years earlier. And I'm like, or we could have not liberated anyone fucking ever. Like, okay. Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you. We could have made it job one. And said, you know, we're going to stop whooping up on the Germans and the Japanese. We're going to focus on liberating these camps. And who could argue with we could have done it earlier? But who else did it is my bigger question. And did we do it at all? That's more of a focus for me. Who we compare? Okay, Mexico could have done it earlier too, but they didn't. They didn't do it. They didn't do it at all. So, okay, Ed, you got a beef. I don't know. How's your beef with Mexico? You got a beef with Mexico? They didn't liberate any camps.
They didn't participate.
So there you go.
That way.
So shut up is what I'm saying. Or just admit you hate this country. Or better yet, just admit you hate your dad. Because that's what it is. It's all I hate my dad.
Well, I don't hate this country. And I've been around the world. I've been to the war zones. I've been to places that don't really understand what freedom is. They've been living under the boot of some dictator for years. When you go to the border between North and South Korea and you stand on the DMZ, you can stand right there. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I've stood right on the border. And you can, as close as I am to you, I can be staring in the face of a North Korean guard. And he's standing there staring at me. And the border's right in between us, and he can come right down. The people in the back behind me are free, and they have been for several years, protected and defended by the men and women of the United States, along with the Republic of Korea. The people over here on this side of the border are slaves. They have no concept of what freedom is. They worship the evil dictator over there. That's what they do. Just imagine if that country, Korea, and the peninsula there is ever unified, just imagine the mass graves that we're going to find in that country filled with slaves. Worshiping the evil dictator for all these years. There are concentration camps in that country, gulags. They still exist today. The people in the South appreciate their freedom. They know they value it. It's one of the strongest economies in the world. And the people over here are living in darkness, and they have been. So you appreciate your freedom a lot more when you go to places that really don't know what it is.
Are you surprised that here we are knocking on the door of 2020. And I mean, I remember as a kid in the 80s and young man in the 80s and stuff, I thought, well, by the time we get to 2000, we'll be like, you know, hovercrafts and borderless, and everyone will have a retinal scan and it'll be
vacation
like
vacation on the moon.
Yeah, it's just it'll all be, but whatever we talk about, these thugs, the crime, the gulags, whatever, like, all right, the Berlin Wall's come down. We had a little experiment, lasted 35 years. It was pretty evident to people what was going on one side of the wall and how life was on the other side of the wall. message sent to the world. Millions of people now with the ability to the internet, cell phones, everything. It is like it's kind of devastating to me as a human that we're dragging this sort of archaic, almost like Cro-Magnon sort of brain. You want to talk about toxic masculinity. I don't give a shit about kids wrestling at a barbecue. This is what we should be focused on. How do we get – how is this still around? It's. I know you don't have an answer. It's surprising to me. Is it surprising to you?
Well, I don't have an answer. But if you have a broken heart and you're in despair for something, there's a healing power in service work. That's all I can say. I have found my heart was broken when I watched people jump out of those buildings on September 11th, 2001. And my heart stayed broken, and I needed to do something to assuage that broken heart, to change the course of my life at that point. So everything changed at that point. I felt our country was vulnerable. We all did. We all were scared. Everybody was scared. If you remember, I mean, all of a sudden anthrax is going through the mail, and we think, what's going on now? You know, are there more airplanes? Are there bombs? Now we got anthrax. Everybody was paranoid about what's going to happen to our country. And so we were galvanized for a moment, you know, in support of some sort of reaction, you know, some reply, some response to that. How are we going to take on these bad guys and do something? And a lot of people raised their hands at that point. I've met countless service members, and I said, why are you in the service? September 11th.
Yep.
They watched it happen.
Like Pat Tillman.
And they raised their hands. And having Vietnam veterans in my family and having I remember all too well what happened to our Vietnam veterans when they came home from war. I was 18 years old in 1973, so it was the last year of the draft. And shortly after that, I met my wife. She had brothers who served in Vietnam, her sister's husband. I learned great valuable lessons from them and also had a lot of compassion for our Vietnam veterans who were treated very, very badly when they came home from war. And I just didn't want that to happen to the people responding to the terrorist attacks of September 11th. So I went out and tried to help them, and that gave life real meaning, real purpose. And it's brought a lot of, you know, joy to my life that there's something that I can do as a celebrity to shine a light on these people.
I got so many things to get into. I'll tease a question for you. I, you know, you talk about, so Trump's talking about, I don't know, get out of Syria or wherever we're getting out of, like, get out. Mm-hmm. Some people went in, some people went out. And it's always like, bring these men and women home. And I heard somebody say, these guys signed up for this. Like, they want to fight. Like, they volunteered. They didn't volunteer to go get killed, but what I'm saying is this notion of, like, it's like my kids or something. Like, hey, they didn't want any of this. Bring them home. It's like, no, they're patriots. They're fighters. They're soldiers. They're trained. They many of them want to do their job, what they signed up for. The notion of get them out of there, bring them home. We don't want to see any harm come to anybody. I don't know if that's what they're thinking. That's how I would be thinking. If somebody just dropped me off in Syria, I'd be like, I got to get back to La Cunada. But if I signed up and said, hey, man, my dad did this and my brother's doing
it. Appeals to me.
I want to train and I want to be a part of this and I proudly want to serve. And someone said, no, come home. I might go, no, I want to be here with my brothers doing what I signed up to do. Gary, I think you'll have thoughts on that. And tell me what your assessment is of the average folks in the military who have volunteered. I'll let you steep on that for a second. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Experts say top cybersecurity predictions 2019. Ransomware is going to taper off, but cryptojacking and other money-making schemes will increase. Government regulations and public sentiment on privacy will drive stronger data protection policies. More nation-state attacks and surveillance of individuals. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices that you can't easily see or fix on your own. It's 2000, what'd I say? Almost 20, people. Let's go. Let's get some identity theft protection. If there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it. But you won't have a problem because you'll have LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for an additional 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com for an extra 10% off.
Phil the Labrador's in studio today because it's Rob at the other shop's last day. He's moving to Florida to purchase a home with his fiance.
Is he taking Phil?
No, but he brought us Phil, and Phil was his dog, and he's in love with Phil. So I told him I will definitely bring Phil over so that you can say bye. It's going to be a very weird, sad meeting of Rob and Phil. And I feel like Phil knows what's going on.
It's not goodbye, it's good journey.
I hate those people.
Yeah, Phil's clearly all broken up about it right now.
Do you think you know what part of Florida he's moving to, or he's just going to Florida? Would it be in Dade County?
I was talking to Rob on Saturday. He was getting a little choked up.
He was getting a little choked up about Rob. I will leave them alone.
Yeah, give them their time.
I'm not going to stand there. Watch. Rob
Wrap it
break
up.
Down, hugging Phil, and Phil trying to eat his lunch while he's saying goodbye. All right, so Gary Sinise, sorry. What is your take on the your assessment of what I just said and your average sort of folks that sign up for the military these days?
Well, we have an all-volunteer military. If you don't want to be there, you wouldn't sign up. Everybody knows what they're signing up for. There's an ultimate clause that they sign. That means they're willing to give their life for their country. And it's a dangerous business. You know, certainly there are aspects of it that might be a little more dangerous than others. Infantry might be a little more dangerous than something else. But people continue to sign up for the infantry, continue to want to fight. If you don't want to do that, you wouldn't sign up.
Well, it sort of strikes me that there's a balance, obviously, between putting your life in harm's way and being at a cocktail party 17 years later and going, I was in the military. Oh, what'd you do? I would clean the trays that they served lunch on. Like, oh, yeah, where were you? I was in North Carolina. Like, everyone kind of goes, oh, there you go. Versus, I was in the second helicopter when we went over the wall at Bin Laden's place. Like, now that's a different story for a lot of people. So I imagine if you're of the mindset to sign up for this, you do want to have those stories. You do want to say, I was in it. I was in the battle. I was a part of it. Now, not everyone wants to go out searching for landmines and flip-flops in a broomstick. But, I mean, I think it attracts people who go, I want to be there. I want the action.
Well, sure. I mean, the Marines are a different branch than the Air Force. I mean, everybody has a different specific calling. But I would say with regards to the guys that clean the trays, you know, everybody would say that that every single job in the military means something. If you have dirty trays and bad food someplace, you're going to have a lot of people that aren't happy.
I just mean when you're trying to get laid at a party. Don't worry. I'm a grateful American. I'm just thinking about this guy trying to get laid, saying he was in SEAL Team 6 rather than working one of the main dishwashers. That's all.
I get it.
I'm thinking of him. Do you understand?
I get it. Sure. And everybody's in SEAL Team 6 now. You know?
Everybody.
Yeah. It's a good team to be in.
All right. We got other cars, by the way. How many people they expect to attend Barrett-Jackson this year?
Still trying to find that out.
They're going to have 1,700 vehicles. Larry Fitzgerald is bringing a car out there for auction.
Three cars.
Three cars, yeah. Fool. What? Three cars?
Three cars. 68 Chevelle, 70 Plymouth Cuda, and a 68 Charger.
He's one of the good guys in the NFL, I'll tell you what. And I say quietly just because he's sort of quiet, but going about breaking every record and being dominant for so many years. So he's bringing out a bunch of cars. And again, Gary will be there. You'll be. So what will happen is they'll talk up the car. You'll be up on stage. They'll have the cameras and everything. There's always one guy who shouldn't be up there that they'll try to shoo away. Like one guy who's wearing a vest with a lot of buttons clipped to it. And they'll go like, "Get no." And then he'll hold up some general admission pass or drink coupon or something.
Scat.
And they'll go, "Get no. Get away from the Jeep. Get away from the Jeep." So there'll be that guy.
Richard will be there, of course.
Richard Rawlings will be there. Mm-hmm. Then he'll get up there, and he'll crack like a Miller Lite because he's contractually obliged, and he'll go, "Woo!" And he'll do his thing, and he'll hold it up there. And he'll talk about how him and the crew didn't want to sell this baby. They loved it so much by the time they're done with it. And at some point, they're going to hand the mic over to you. Now.
Moment of truth.
This ain't a movie set. This is a big tent.
We're going to run some lines here, Gary.
Yeah.
Like I got 30 seconds to talk about my foundation and to kind of get everybody excited about what the proceeds from the car are going to go to.
I get it, but you start off by screaming, "Who wants to party?"
Yeah.
And then you shotgun a beer.
Yeah.
Like, you understand, this is a big, raucous concert crowd
I've
that
seen
you're
it,
dealing
I've
with.
Seen.
You
know
and
what
you'll
I'm
still
saying?
Have 25 seconds.
Yeah, I
you
still
can't
have,
start
yeah.
getting in all the nuts and bolts of the .orgs and the, you know, what it means to you. I mean, you got a pound of beer and
yeah.
you got...
A good USA chant would be...
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, Arizona's a border, you know, border state. You can go build that wall.
Yeah.
You know, you really get people
you're
whipped
smart.
Up.
You drop, like, Toby Keith's name.
Yeah.
My good friend Toby Keith told me, "He wishes he could be here tonight." You crack that beer and you shotgun it.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You're a performer.
Sure. I got
you
30
understand.
Seconds.
I don't have to tell you what to do.
30 seconds for that.
But I feel like I did. Well, look, you've not been there. You know what I mean? You may have been to the DMZ, but you've not been to Barrett Jackson with the Heroes.
I'll tell you what. I saw the Steven Tyler auction when they auctioned off his car.
Mm-hmm.
And it went for $850,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw him yelling and screaming. I'll do that.
Yeah,
there you go.
Do that.
Get a scarf tied around your microphone.
Yeah, he has a song called "Red, White, and You." So he knows what he's doing.
Ooh, you know what always adds to the mix? Throw in the bass guitar.
Yeah,
throw the bass guitar in the back of the Jeep.
I'm going to sign one, and they can
sign that
can
bass guitar.
That.
Yeah, throw it in there.
I'm sure that'll bring a. Bring a lot of money in.
It's weird. They always try to add a guitar. It never really
$110
never
guitar.
Goes. I don't want a guitar. I want a car.
Yeah, whenever one of the ZZ Top guys is selling a car, I'm putting a guitar in the back. Like, all right, that's a tack $18 onto whatever the total was, and let's keep moving. A Gary Sinise signed bass, so that'll go in the back. Over 300,000 expected to attend.
Wow.
That is big.
That's great.
I mean, you think about your general events, your concerts and your festivals and all that kind of stuff, Super Bowls or whatever. That's a pretty high mark, 300,000. That's over the course of a few days.
About
for sure.
2,500 are expected to be bidders, and then the rest are just spectators.
It's like Coachella.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. The best part is once you get in on the bid, they'll assign a guy to like stand next to you because he's kind of your Barrett Jackson liaison, and that guy just stands in front of you and goes, come on man, it's for the trips, come on man, for the trips.
My
does
God.
He really
is your little hype man?
Oh yeah,
he milks it.
He's going to be in front of you, and he's going to, once they narrow it down to a few guys, because when you go, and the guy's going, you know, 100, 120, 100, and you go 100, that guy will go, woo! Like raise his hand up. And
you're
then,
right, man.
They sign you a huckster.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's right up in front of you, and he's putting the screws to you.
Wow.
It's and I have no, do you have any thoughts about, do you have hopes? What do you know? Do you have dreams? No, what do you think this
question.
Jeep's going to go for? Do you have any expectations?
Gosh, I don't know. I don't want to... give a number here, then I may be too low or too high.
You want to jinx it?
Yeah, that's right.
You're saying you don't know the number of the auction in advance? I get it. No, I know what cars are worth, so I normally, if you took a Gullwing Mercedes, I'd go, it's worth 1.1 to 1.3, probably hammer out about 1.2, and then with the VIG, it'll go
so
up
what do you,
a little
what do you
bit.
Think, what do you think our Jeep's going to go for?
Well, I have no idea because it's it's a charity car, and charity cars have gone ballistic in the past because of the write-off and because of the charity. But some of them are like GM has donated the, you know, serial number one Camaro Z28 for 2016. So part of it is I'm going to get the number one Z28 Camaro to roll off the assembly line, and that thing will have a great value down the road. This is, you know, it's a CJ7. It's nicely done. A CJ7 is 15 to 25 or something. I'm not deep in the Jeep world. but this one with Rawlings and everything is good. But I don't know. It's all charity. All the money is going to come from the charity. I have found that these groups are very charitable. I found that these numbers go very high. And I found that with the tax incentives and write-offs, it the sky's the limit. Yes,
let me put it to you this way. When I did Wants to Be a Millionaire, before I did it, I had an amount in my head. I'm like, all right, this is the amount, the least amount I hope to walk away with. This is the amount I'll be happy with. And everything over this amount, I'm thrilled. So give us here's the least you should go for. What should they be happy with? And everything, this would be the happy mark.
Well, the vehicle itself is 30 grand. So if you can get to six digits, if you can get above $100,000, I would be happy with that. I would say that would be it. If it cracks 250, that would be insane. So I'll say 1 to 250. Mexipata, can you find other examples of charity cars from Barrett Jackson that weren't inherently, you know, worth a ton? It can't be serial number one. It can't be a Ferrari, LaFerrari, or something like that. It's got to be something that is under 100 grand that just went for well over 100 grand. I'll let you look for that, and we'll see what we can prognosticate. Mm-hmm. We also have Hollywood Hand-Me-Downs, the game to play. We're going to guess on the charity items from all the Hollywood auctions.
This is a surprisingly difficult game, Gary.
No, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's vexing.
Never what you think.
It's vexing because stuff is surprisingly cheap oftentimes and amazingly expensive other times, which is basically saying what Gina just said. All right. Let me tell you about Craftsman. Just used my Craftsman tools this morning. Always have used the Craftsman hand tools. Now I use the Craftsman power tools. Lowe's, the new home of Craftsman, including the new V20 cordless power tool lineup. One battery system works on multiple products, 2, 4, 6, 8 tool combo kits. They have roto hammers. They have drills. They have they're all brushless motors, so they work much better, much more efficiently. Impact driver. People, get yourself a V20 Max impact driver. It will change your life. Proudly made in the USA, everybody, with global materials in Charlotte, North Carolina. For the latest in Craftsman product updates, you can go online. Go to Lowe's.com/Adam. Great power tools, always great hand tools with the Craftsman. Lowe's.com/Adam, the new home of Craftsman. You found an F-250, that's a Ford pickup truck. There's the F-150, F-250 medium, and the 350s. And the bigger, it kind of keeps going. But
this
anyway.
One was built in the SEMA garage, sold for $115.
SEMA garage, and it was a SEMA build. That's the big event I go to in Vegas every year. And sticker on a loaded F-250 is $42,000 or something like that. I mean, if it's got all the good bells and whistles and everything. So this has gone up more than twice that. All right. You keep looking. We will take ourselves a quickie break. We'll come back with Gary Sinise. We'll play Hollywood Hand-Me-Downs next.
Jimmy Kimmel dared Adam Carolla to go on stage completely unprepared, and Adam had the balls to do it. So now you have the balls too. Bingo balls. Adam Carolla is Unprepared is coming to your town. February 8th in Connecticut, February 9th in Boston. We got a bingo ball hopper. You write down one word on it. and Adam will spontaneously create a rant around it live on stage.
Steampunk. Oh, Jesus Christ. You guys know what steampunk is? This is basically rockabilly for people that make more than $37,000 a year.
Adam Carolla is unprepared. February 8th at Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. February 9th at the Wilbur in Boston. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Alexandria, Ohio. Two brothers were arrested in connection with a YouTube prank video showing one of the siblings speeding through a Walmart wearing white underwear and a red cape on a dirt bike! Definitely not a Jew!
Gary Sinise here. We got the custom 1981 CJ7 Jeep, all done up by Richard Rawlings over there from Fast and Loud. Very successful show on Discovery Channel. It's coming up. Do we find out when? And the book, Grateful American, A Journey from Self to Service. You can pre-order it now at GarySiniseFoundation.com.
.org.
Oh, well, who could have ever...
Could have done that on that.
Right. Everybody make their changes.
I do realize the impulse that just write dot and then put the word com, but this is why we must be diligent, people.
Diligent.
Do we know when the TV show comes out? We don't know when
the season of
Fast and Loud comes out, but it'll be this season. You'll see the Jeep. And for those of you who are thinking about bidding, a very cool thing to have is, do we mention a signed bass guitar from Gary Sinise?
Yes.
Oh, we didn't bring that. Okay. Another cool thing to have is popping in the episode where your car was built.
Sure.
So it's sort of constant. It'll forever be young and forever be built.
And also, let me say, the conclusion of the TV show is the auction.
Oh,
so
right.
So they're filming the whole thing.
Oh, well, you win that bid and you'll be
on TV.
You'll be on that as well. So fun thing to do with the Jeep after you show your buddies up in the garage is walk down to the man cave and pop in the DVD and watch yourself in the building of the Jeep. He or she, but probably dude, most likely. All right. Should we play the game?
Yes, we should.
All right.
It's time to find out, how much did they pay in another round of Hollywood Hand-Me-Downs?
All right, so all of these items were in the most recent Profiles in History Hollywood auction. Took place in early December. Here we go, round one. Jules Winfield's signature bad motherfucker wallet from Pulp Fiction.
Now we're talking.
Johnny Carson's NBC Studio Rainbow Stage Curtains from The Tonight Show. Or the kryptonite crystal from Superman 3.
All right, I'm sorry. The bad motherfucker was from where?
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction.
Come on.
I'm trying to...
Pulp Fiction.
I know, but I'm trying to...
This was used in the scene during the diner robbery.
Oh, sorry, yes. I got that.
Ringo took it.
And the curtain, I was distracted by a bunch of something that was on my desk. Sorry. The curtain is from...
Johnny Carson.
That is the curtain from the Tonight Show.
From 74 to 80.
It's funny. You look at it and you go, oh, yeah, I picture him coming through there so often. That is the most surreal part about show business is when you finally end up on Letterman and you're back there talking to, Biff.
Biff. Tom Wilson.
Was his name? Oh, his name wasn't Biff.
Like, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought about the actor who played Biff in Back to the Future.
No, Biff from Letterman.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
when
yeah,
you
no,
watch
yeah,
him
Biff.
As a
yes.
black
we
guy
know
with
this
a
answer.
Cap in his teeth. And you're just, he's got a headset on. And
you're
just,
a little credit for the Tom Wilson pull.
Good pull.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Now, please don't talk. And I was like, you're just standing back there ready to go on, and there's Biff, like, standing there, and you saw him when you were 19, like, jobless. Did you, Gary, you did the, you must have done the Tonight Show with Carson?
With Jay.
Oh, just Jay. When was, I'm trying to think of when I was there something before Forrest Gump that would have got you on the Tonight Show?
No. Forrest Gump, I think, was the first time I went on Leno.
You didn't make the rounds for Of Mice and Men? I love that movie.
Not on the Tonight Show. I did some, you know, but it was Forrest Gump, I think, you know, that was kind of the biggest movie and all that.
Let me kiss a little Gump ass for a second. Couple things. When you can have a few moments that just are in the zeitgeist, like I laugh my ass off on an almost nightly basis because my son, Sonny, follows everyone around in the house. He's 12, and he just spouts out details from, like, he'll just follow and go, Kyrie Irving, you know, when he was in high school, he was a guard because he was only 6'1". He grew. He's 6'9 now. He grew from 6'1 to 6'9. Between his junior and senior year in high school, imagine being in high school. So Kyrie Irving. So Vince Carter, he won the dunk competition in 1999. He's still in the league. He's still playing in the league. Vince Carter's number 3 all-time in threes. People look at him as a dunk master. Vince Carter can shoot today, and he follows everyone around and just tells them stuff.
Final episode of Fantasy BS available now.
And I said to him, I said to my wife, I said, this kid, he's like Bubba Gump talking about shrimp. And so every time he starts spouting off, we go, we got coconut shrimp, we got popcorn shrimp. And everyone starts laughing because everyone knows the scene. Like it's that impactful. I thought the movie was, I saw it in the theater, I thought it was revolutionary, and I loved it. And I know like some people like picked on it a little bit, like here and there. And I don't mean that in a big way, I just mean like there's a lot of sort of folks that just, it's their job to find things. That movie was groundbreaking to me, and it was excellent. And I thought you were, and Tom, everyone was just excellent. I loved all the flashbacks and just running and growing the beard, like just every part of it. Yep. I just love that movie.
It was epic.
Yeah.
It was a fun movie. Yeah. Great movie to be in. I hadn't been in that many films before that, so. It was early in the movie career. I was grateful to get that.
So the wallet, the curtain, and the crystal. Kryptonite.
Superman 3.
Oh, the kryptonite crystal. Oh, from 3.
The Richard
3.
Pryor movie.
Okay.
And this is without the price they add on, the fig.
Yeah, the 10%. Well, you can, and we don't need to. But ultimately, as a purist, when people do a thing where they go, for the sake of argument, for sake of pride, when you sell your Jeep may hammer for $100,000, but the auction house gets 10%, and the person who bid is paying the 10%. So somebody was willing to pay $110,000 for your Jeep. And when people say, what did the Jeep sell for? Tell them $110,000 because that's the check that was cut. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So people do a lot of like, yeah, well, the Jeep sold for $100,000, but it hammered for $100,000. But no, that's the price. Whether it's tax on groceries or whatever it is, that is the price that somebody paid. Yep. So Max Pata, in the future, we will tack that on because it is the price
the
that it's
price.
Sold for.
We can do that. No problem.
All right. And sometimes as the price goes up, like car sells for $5 million, that's $500,000.
That's a good point.
That ends up to be real money. All right. Do we know what the auction house does with the VIG? It's at least 10%. It may be more.
Let me check.
We'll figure it out. Anyway.
Oh, right. It is around 10%, but it changes like per tier. So if it's like over 100,000, it goes down to like 8%.
All right. But we'll figure 10% just for the sake of conversation. All right.
Also, I've just been told Barrett drops the VIG for charity cars.
Oh, okay.
Ah, they do. So
good to know.
You're getting a deal.
That's good.
Discount.
All right. Oh, boy. It's tough, man.
This is a very tough one.
Okay. Oh, no.
Oh, come on.
I can't. It's like I can't. I'm all over the damn road here. Damn it. Okay, here we go. Brian, what do you think?
My guess is that the curtain went for less because it's one of several. They said it was from 74 to 80, so it's not the curtain. It's one of several curtains.
That is prime time, though. But
it
yeah.
is. So I went with the wallet, iconic, one of a kind, 5,000.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I don't know where anyone would put that curtain, no matter how much they love Johnny Carson. So I don't think that's the one. I love the wallet, but I think it's been so easily replicated, and you can get it at any flea market. I know this is the real one, but I think that drops the price. I'm not sure, but I'm going to say the kryptonite at 12K.
This is why you got to play the game, Gary. You have to play the game.
What do you think?
Well, you know, I am going to go with the curtain.
Oh, wow.
Johnny Carson was on for 30 years. I think there's probably some crazy collector out there that really was a big, big fan over that period of time. So I'm going to say like $25,000.
Right. The crystals from three are the kryptonites from three, so not so much. The wallet just doesn't feel like there's enough there. Curtain, I guess it depends what age you are, but that was prime years from 74 to 80. I went curtain as well. I went 40,000 on the curtain.
The curtain closed at $6,000.
Oh.
The wallet closed at $8,000.
Wow.
Leaving the Superman 3 kryptonite crystal, which closed
$75
at $12,000.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. Gina's exactly on.
Feeling good, feeling lucky.
That is shocking because that
Thank
is not iconic
much.
And that is not a good movie.
Adam, you and me. Who are the old guys here in this room?
I think it's you and me. Even if we count dog ears, I don't think Phil makes the cut.
Gary, that's not going to happen again. That was lightning in a bottle.
I'm also disgusted that we live in a world where that was the most expensive.
But Adam, I was using your nerd logic on that, too.
It is. Gary, it should be noted that nerds have a lot of extra income and are willing to pay ungodly prices for junk.
Yeah,
that's how you become a nerd.
Okay.
So throw a stormtrooper helmet in the back of that Jeep.
And watch it skyrocket.
All right, here we go.
All right, next round. Chief Brody's eyeglasses from the movie Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
Sheriff Andy Taylor's badge from the Andy Griffith Show. Mm. And a T-Rex screen-used tooth from Jurassic Park.
Mounted nicely.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
All right. Well, again, using the nerd equation, you'd want to go with the tooth. To me, the glasses are iconic. The sheriff badge is great. TV, probably not as good as theatrical. I loved Brody. I loved that character. That if you really think about that character, he was like he was bold and sort of heroic and sort of cowardly kind of at the same time.
He was everyman. He was scared.
He didn't like the water, you know, but he was very dedicated to his town and his family. It was a perfect guide to put out in the middle of the ocean. Mm-hmm. His literally like, I'm going to shoot that shark was kind of his take.
Like, really had no business being there. They had the sea guy and Dreyfus and they had the captain. There's no need for the police sheriff to be there.
No, but he Roy Scheider was great
he was
in that.
But is it the most expensive item?
All right, let's see.
Okay.
Right.
It's good pod. Oh,
it's great pod. Wait, we can hear
Thinking.
Phil breathing.
And wagging his tail.
All right, we locked in.
Okay.
No confidence at all. No, Brian, what do you think?
I could have gone any direction on this. I went against my first instinct and said A. Oh, no, sorry, the tooth, which I think is C. I said the tooth for $3,000.
Gary?
I'm going to go with the glasses, actually. It was a groundbreaking film at that time. I think 1976, it was probably the first big blockbuster.
It defined the blockbuster.
It sure
the
did.
The summer The summer one, like, or the blockbuster.
It was the first one people lined up around the block.
It made more money than ever.
No, I agree, but was there also like a summer release aspect to it? Or
I don't
know
the history that well. How many of those types of films were released during the summer? But that was the defining blockbuster of its generation.
Check it out. I'm going. Panda. What do you got?
10,000
on the glasses. Gina Grant.
I don't think it gets more iconic overall. I'm going against your TV theory. Then it doesn't get more iconic overall than Andy Griffith. He's Americana. He's beloved. It's a cherished show that people are diehard for when they love it. I said The Badge at 9,500.
Now I own Otis's mason jar and Barney's one bullet.
You hang on to that, man.
So I'm hanging on to that. I'm rooting for the star,
but
I'm sticking with my own advice on the nerds. Jurassic Park, big franchise. I went $9,000 on the Jurassic Park tooth.
The Jurassic Park tooth closed at $8,000.
Okay.
That's good. Close.
With the VIG, 10%, 8,800. I win. Next item.
Go home.
Chief Brody's eyeglasses closed at slightly more, $9,500.
Without the VIG and minus the 500 and with another item, I was spot on.
Gary's close to a point here because he's only 500 away from a bid, but Andy Griffith show... Badge went for $10,000. Gina Grad with another 2-point round.
Wow.
Damn. I'm going to go work at Sotheby's.
Very knotted up, these items, all within a few grand of each other.
Gary's also going to get a point because he was 500 away.
I got
a point. All right.
Let's go to Butterfield and Bonham.
I'm on the board.
Jaws was the highest grossing film of all time until Star Wars came out. So
yeah.
When did it come out?
76.
I was curious about the summer blockbustery part. Yeah. I knew it did well.
I think it was 76, and Star Wars was 78.
75 and 77.
June 75 for Jaws.
Yeah, now you can look into it, but I just have a recollection of it being like the summer blockbustery thing. That's what it ushered in. But go ahead.
Jake LaMotta's boxing gloves from Raging Bull, along with a production shooting script.
It's over.
How about the guitar? in there.
Steven Spielberg's director's chair back from Jurassic Park. Or Wolverine's claws from X2, X-Men United.
X2 is the best one.
Nerds. The nerds.
I know.
Now, the gloves, as seen on film, like used for the shooting of the film. Damn it, that should be in there.
With the script.
Yeah, but damn nerds. Well, they're going to ruin. They won't rest till they ruin everything.
Zuck wants that chair.
Oh, God. All right. Here we go. You know, Raging Bull is just really one of the best films of all time. I mean, it is so iconic and so great. And just the black and the white part of it. And then, of course, the later with the putting on the weight and the doing the whole thing.
Also kind of found respect later. You know what I mean? Like, wasn't hailed as the great film that it later became recognized as at the time.
Did it win the Academy Award?
I don't know. I don't believe it did.
No, Ordinary People won.
Great movie, though. You're not a fan?
No, it's fine. It's not Raging Bull. It's fine. It's not Raging Bull. All right. Is everyone locked in?
Yeah.
Brian, how say you?
I'm going to say the gloves because I don't underestimate the film nerd aspect. This is a black and white, you know, Scorsese movie from the glory days. This is a lover loved by film nerds. I said the gloves for 11,000.
Mm-hmm. Gary, how say you?
I'll take the Wolverine, whatever you want. What are you, claws? What are they called?
Yeah. Adamantium retractable claws.
Pistachio openers.
Can openers there. $8,500.
I thought about something you said before, Adam, but what's it really made out of? You know, at the end of the day, is it PVC pipe? And I kind of thought that about the claws. So I went gloves, $35,000.
Wow.
I like where your head's at, except for I went $40,000 on the claws.
Ooh.
The gloves fetched the least.
Wow.
Still nerds!
Still earning a point for Bald Brian at $11,000.
Needed that badly.
Wow.
Spielberg's director's chair back.
That one for more than the gloves?
fetched much more, $18,000.
This is all nerd-driven.
Yeah.
That's gross.
That's all nerd-driven. It's a Jurassic nerd versus the greatest film of all time.
It's leaving hanging us, over Fondelier's desk.
leaving us with the Wolverine claws, which, by the way, are made of stainless steel.
Oh, there you go. Mm.
Going for $20,000
each, which makes the combined total $40,000 without the VIG. You got to continue reading, Dawson, when you just stop.
People think
it
you're
confuses
done.
People. Yeah. All right, let's declare a winner because Mr. Sinise has himself a hardish out here.
Gina wins.
All right. Gina, congrats, I love those two words together. Thank you. Thank you. And a handshake from Gary Sinise. I won today.
Until the next auction, that was Hollywood Hand-Me-Downs.
All right. The gloves from Raging Bull didn't get with the chair. The chair back is a wisp of fabric with just, Spielberg's name that you would never know what you could show anyone who came into your house at the Lucite frame it was in and ask them what movie they thought it was from. And they could
always
they'd have no
the Twilight Zone.
No idea. They'd have no idea. All right. Let me tell you quickly about MedMen. You want a healthy new year. They got a way for you to keep your resolutions for 2019. Looking to get fit? You can try energizing edibles before you run or a soothing CBD stick after you're done with your run, or resolve to relax a little more and ease your anxiety with premium products from MedMen. You visit a store near you. They have knowledgeable in-store team, including in-house pharmacists at medical stores. Make sure you find the right product you need. Easy to understand instructions for using it. And where do you go? You go to medmen.com. Find the store nearest you, big and bright, not all weird and windowless and dicey. It's medmen.com. To find the store nearest you, MedMen, how about it, Dawson?
MedMen's resolution for 2019, helping to drop the labels for cannabis users. Use code Adam Carolla at checkout to get 10% off your purchase. Visit a MedMen today. Limit one per customer. Terms and conditions apply. Keep out of reach of children for use only by adults 21 years of age and older.
All right, so last time we'll review this. The custom Jeep built by the Fast and Loud guys and Richard Rowling, who's going to be up on stage there. That'll be tomorrow. That'll be Friday night. That's in Scottsdale, Barrett Jackson, all the money going to the charity people. And you can go to barrettjackson.com. You can participate online if you'd like. You don't have to make the pilgrimage out to Arizona. Also, the book, Grateful American, A Journey from Self to Service. You can pre-order it at GarySiniseFoundation.org, people. It's coming out February 12th, but pre-order it, and it'll be waiting for you when it comes out. Gary, thank you very much.
Oh, great to be here.
Always a pleasure. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the news right after this.
What's up? Name's Xander Slade. I'm a professional parkour runner. Never heard of parkour. Number one, wake the fuck up. You're fast asleep. And number two, I'll tell you about it. Parkour is an ancient physical art form from Japan. It incorporates cool flips and shit into the process of getting from one point to another. It's a tough sport. I get a lot of bumps and bruises, but the most difficult aspect of running is staying loose. You can stretch all you want, but my secret is Mangria. I chug about a bottle and a half before I launch myself over 30-foot parking garage gaps and cling to cement walls with no handholds. For me, it's the best way to stay cool under pressure. Currently, I'm nursing two broken legs and a broken penis, so I'm out for a while. But know this. When I hit the streets again, Mangria's coming with me. Thanks, Mangria.